I love God's Word. I said, I love God's Word. He's so good to us. He's so precious to us. If you got your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And those of us who grew up in church or have been in the church for a long time, this verse will be very familiar because we, even as kids, we had songs that were based on this particular verse. But it is so important that we understand it. And that's verse 1 of the third chapter of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Glory to God. I love this term, and it's like, behold! And all I can think of is, you know, the carnivals or the circuses, and you have these guys that are up there, behold, watch what this magician is going to, you know, all, and kind of just explaining or just pushing out there something that is like, listen up, pay attention. There's something special here that you need to look at. And so this verse, he's starting out with, behold, there's something special that you need to look at. This is not something to take lightly. This is something that you need to grab a hold of and let it become a part of who you are. He says, beloved, we are now the children of God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good? Verse 1 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed onto us. Did you know that God is not just the big guy in the sky, right? He's not somebody that can't be touched with our infirmities. He's our Father. That's an incredible title. And even, you know, when I started to have children, I thought, what an incredible responsibility is, because God gave me the same title for my children as He has for me and for all of the universe. Father, I'm supposed to be the example to my children of what God is like. No pressure, right? No pressure. It's God, and you know, you're just supposed to live up to that. But you begin to think about, what do fathers do with children? And you begin to think about that for a few minutes, and you begin to think about, well, wait a minute, He's my Father. You know, as a child, I never worried about whether there was going to be breakfast in the morning. I know there's parts of the world where they do, but in our household, there was never a worry about whether there was going to be something for lunch. There was never a worry about whether there was going to be dinner on the table in the evening, because my Father provided for me, right? My Father provided for me. And so, again, it gets us back to the point that God is my Father. I didn't stress about those things. I didn't worry about anything because my dad was my dad, right? And so what does that have to do with the Bible? Everything. God is my Father. And there's a verse in it, and I love it, where it's at, because it's Matthew 7:11, so I can remember it really easy. But that verse that says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to His children, right? And so what does that say to you? That says to me that God wants me to be blessed. And I'm not talking about just having a bunch of stuff. I don't think He minds if you have stuff, but having a lot of stuff doesn't indicate that you've been a good father. Giving your kids a lot of stuff, when you teach your kids to appreciate what they have and operate in that, it's a different story. But The point is if He's God and He's my Father, then there are certain just attitudes that I should have toward Him. First of all, I should respect Him. But secondly, if you've experienced the love of the Father, right? It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. His love toward us needs to be one that we recognize. And if we didn't have, and this is hard for some people, if they didn't have an earthly example of what a good father is, their distorted view of God is a hindrance to them. But tonight, I want to tell you, He's a good God. He's a Father that cares about you. He's a Father that wants to direct you, correct you, and put you in the place where you can be blessed and walk in the light of what God has given to you. He loves you. I said, He loves you. He loves you. He's my daddy. He loves me. But watch this. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. If people can't appreciate who you are since you become a Christian, don't think that that's strange. It's because you don't belong to their family anymore. People who don't know Christ are in a different family than you're in. In fact, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and He was talking to them, and He said, you're of your father, the devil. He said, and he's been a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. He's still a liar. He's a liar, and he's your father. Well, I was of my father, the devil, before I got saved. But when I asked Jesus to become Lord of my life, Father God became my God. The Bible says it this way, I've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light because God's my Father. So Him being my Father and holding that title, I have some expectations and anticipations of some of the things that He'll do for me and with me, right? In fact, let's look at one verse and then we'll comment a little bit more on that. Go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And we're going to go to the 20th chapter. So it's right at the end of the book. But John chapter 20. And look at verse 17. Jesus is talking to Mary here and He says, do not cling to Me. For I have not yet ascended to My Father. But go tell to My brethren and say to them, I am ascending to My Father and to your Father, to My God and to your God. You see, when you become a Christian, when you become born again, you become God's son or daughter. Watch this. But it's in the same it's in the same family as Jesus. Now, I know that there are, in certain families, there are certain children that are preferred, or they're my favorite, they're not my favorite, you know, that type of thing. But most good parents will treat all of the kids the same. I love you all the same, but I love you different because you're different, right? I can't love all of my kids exactly the same, but my heart for them is the same. Right? God loves each one of us the same. But that's not just, that in itself would be wonderful, but here's the point, that God loves me like He loves Jesus. Let me say that one more time. God the Father loves me as His child the same way that He loves Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that we're joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? That my inheritance, which is what I get from the Father, right, is the same as Jesus. That's pretty cool. But again, when I look at it, how could God love me the same way that he loves Jesus? That seems impossible because Jesus was perfect, and this will be revelation to most of you, but I'm not. Right? I'm not perfect. He is, I'm not. How could God love me the same way does Jesus? Because we're different, right? He had no sin, I've had plenty, right? Here is how he can do that, is because when Jesus went to the cross and he died for my sins, he said, behold, here's the doorway to the Father. And if you accept me and if you accept my Son as your, God said, if you accept my Son as your Savior, then his blood will cleanse you from all that unrighteousness, and you now have free access with me. So I'm identified with Christ. And my being in Christ gives me access to God the same way that Jesus has access to his Father. I have access to my Father. That's incredible to me. It's so spectacular. But our attitude toward it sometimes is, can't be. How could God really love me? Or why would God love me? And the answer is he is love. Love is not an attribute that he has. It's who he is. And in his love, he sent Jesus so that I could have a relationship with him. So when it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us that we should be called the children of God, that's a big, big, big deal. Right? But let me just walk through a few things that I think a father is responsible for. I alluded to it, that he's responsible for provision. Right? He's responsible to take care of you. And here's how Jesus addressed that. He said, why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Where you're going to live? Why are you stressed out about those bills? Doesn't the Father in heaven take care of the birds? Doesn't he? The grass doesn't get stressed out about, right? And if it's here today, gone tomorrow, God much more will take care of you. But you see, unless you see him as the Father who cares for you, then there's going to be a doubt in your mind whether he'll provide for you. But when you begin to see him for who he is, it puts on a whole different light. He's my provider. The second thing that a father has to do or is responsible for is to be a protector. Right? I am a very, very mellow guy. I really am. When I was younger, I had a really Irish temper, but I don't have that anymore. But if you came into my house and were going to attack my wife or my kids, it would be a whole different thing. Because you're going to have to come through me to get to them. Right? And if I, being evil, know how to protect my kids, how much more does your Father know how to take care of you and to protect you? Isn't that awesome? And some of us are, and I hear Christians walking around, well, the devil's done this, and you know the devil's done that, and you got to worry about this spirit and worry about that spirit. I understand the reality of those things, but you don't know my Father. He's given me authority over all of those things, and I have power over them, and he's got my back. Well, you don't know how many demons are out there. I don't care. Why? Because my Father is my protector. So he's my provider. He's my protector. Here's another thing. As a father, you're supposed to do for your children is you're supposed to teach them. Right? You're supposed to teach them. You're supposed to not do for them all the time, but teach them how to do. Right? So God isn't up there going to do everything for you, but He loves you enough that He says, listen, it's time for you to understand how to do this. Right? It's one thing for you to have to spoon feed the little baby because it doesn't have the muscle coordination to put the spoon to its mouth. But if your child is 16, unless there's something really seriously wrong and you're still spoon feeding it, you're not doing your job as a parent. Right? But God loves us so much that He wants us to grow up and develop so that we can be used in His kingdom. That's awesome. In fact, the Bible says that God chastens, another word could be disciplines, those that He loves. What does that mean? If God sees you doing wrong, He's going to correct you. Right? And He does it in many different ways. The first and the main way that He does everything is through the Word. How does He correct us? Through the Word. Well, we'll be reading along, and we might be reading in Proverbs, or we might be reading in the Gospel, or in one of the epistles, and there's a verse in there that says, don't do this, and you're doing it. You go, oh. Or you're hearing a preacher preach, and all of a sudden you're under conviction. I can't tell you how many times, and this has happened to me multiple times, I'll be preaching a message and you know, just giving it as God's giving it to me. And after the service, maybe even the next day, I'll get a call and the wife will say, ma'am, my husband is angry with me. And I'll say, well, why is he angry with you? He thinks I called you last week and told you everything that he was doing wrong because you nailed him this week. And I said, I didn't even think about him this week, right? I didn't even, but God was using me to bring him to a place of correction. Why does God want to correct you? Not because he thinks that you're not worth anything or that you're lousy, but he wants to correct you so that you can be better. And watch this. Everything that we do wrong leads us to a place of harm. And God wants to get us out of that into things right. Let me give you an example. You have a toddler and you have a wood stove. Right? And what does the toddler want to do? Touch the wood stove. Well, if you're a good parent, you're going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that that child doesn't touch the wood stove. See, and God, and this is interesting too, because I think it happens like this a lot. You might start out saying, all right, little Johnny, don't touch the wood stove. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then as he's getting more bold to touch the wood stove, you're going to become more aggressive in your discipline so that he doesn't touch the wood stove, right? But there may come a day where he sneaks around you and touches the wood stove, and a good parent is going to go, I told you so, you dumb idiot. A good parent is going to say, that's why I was trying to tell you real quietly not to touch. And that's why I said it a little bit louder. And that's why, you know, I patted the back of your hand not to do that because I knew the pain that it would cause. But you did it, and now the repercussion is your hand hurts. But I'll take care of the hand, but don't do it again. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how God is with us at times. He's saying, don't do that. And we hear it in the Word, and we do it anyway. And then we get to the place where we're bearing the repercussions of our going against His laws, and we're having to bear the fruit of that. And He's saying, listen, I know that there's trouble, but I spoke to you not to do that. But I'm loving you enough that even if you've done it, I'm going to pick you up on the other side, and I'm going to bring you back to the place of correction because I want life to go well with you. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us that we should be called the children of God. He loves us that much, right? He loves us that much. A good father does not do everything for his children. You know, I think every generation has said the same thing. These kids today, right? Your parents said it. Your grandparents said it. We say it. But it's all the same, right? It's all the same. Different surroundings, but all the same thing, right? But God is always up there with us wanting our best. Let me take you to a scripture in Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. God is so good. And He loves us so much. We're going to get back to 1 John in just a minute, but I want to read this. Look at verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It said, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, to whereby we cry, Abba, Father." A good father is not going to let you grow up in an atmosphere of fear. A good father is not going to hover it over you. A good father is not going to say, "Listen, I'm your father. You'll do what I say no matter what. And if you don't, boy, you're going to pay the piper." Right? Right? And he's not the one that the child is afraid of whenever he scratches his nose because he's afraid we're going to get hit. That's not God, right? That's not a good father. But watch this. He didn't give us... This is so good. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us. We did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." When we received Christ and as this describes, we were adopted by the Father, brought into His, we're not in bondage anymore. And fear should not have a place in our hearts. The more that we're convinced that God loves us, that God knows us, that God has the best for us, that, watch this, that God is proud of us, the less fear can grip us. If we know He's our provider, if we know He's our protector, if we know that He'll never leave us, if we know that He truly loves us, then fear has no place in us. You know, we all grow up in different generations, and my parents were of that generation, the Second World War, you know, coming out of the Second World War, and they didn't, my parents specifically, weren't real affectionate type of people, right? I mean, they didn't come up and hug us and kiss us and, you know, all that stuff. As babies they did, but, well, my mom did anyway, but there was not a lot of that went on. We knew that we were loved, but it wasn't expressed a lot. But when I had kids and I found out how much God loved me, I never missed an opportunity to let my kids know that I love them and that they were accepted. In if they could go anywhere in the world, and they might all reject them, but if they came home, there was safety in the home and they knew that their dad loves them. In fact, you know, my son will be 40 this next year. Isn't that crazy? I don't know. I'm still 39. I don't know how he's passing me, but he'll be 40 next year. And every time we're on the phone, or like when we go golfing and we're leaving, "Love you, Dad. Love you, son." It's not just flippant words that I'm saying. It's not just, "Well, that's my, you know, goodbye speech. Love you." No, I love you. You're loved. You're loved, right? He knows that. And Donnie will tell you, she knows. that she's loved. And here's the key to that. And I'm not talking about me as much as I'm talking about how much God loves us. They were both going through school with a lot of confidence, and they didn't necessarily have the need to go into certain behaviors because they didn't need to search for something that they had at home. In other words, there was peer pressure, and you know, they weren't perfect. They're angels, but they weren't perfect, right? But they knew that they were loved. And that put confidence in them to be who they were. Like my son, it's just incredible. I've told you this story before. But he forgot his school lunch one day, and he plays the guitar, and he had his guitar with him. And before, you know, it was lunchtime, he didn't have any lunch money. So he just put the guitar out there, put a little sign up, and started playing a song until people threw enough change in there that he could buy lunch. I would have never done that. But you see, his confidence was built in the security of knowing that I loved him. And Donnie was the same way. I mean, to this day, Donnie cares about what you think about her, but not that much. I mean, she's not moved by peer pressure and societal things because she has security in knowing that she's loved. And it makes such a difference. I'll just tell you the story. There was a time she was coming back home. She and John lived in Georgia or something, and she was coming back home. I was going to pick her up, and I think it was on a Tuesday. So Monday night, we're at men's group, and I was talking about Donnie coming home. And I said, here's what I'll guarantee you. I'll guarantee you, within the first 24 hours of her being home, there will be a time where she'll come to me, and she'll put her head on my shoulder, or sit on my lap. She'll just do that. And she's a grown woman now. Right? So I pick her up at SeaTac. We're driving in the car. Get to Federal Way. And all of a sudden, right? Why? Because she knows that she's loved. You see, there's comfort in knowing that you're loved and that your Father loves you and that God loves you, and He does. Right. But as we grow up, and we're supposed to grow up and not be little babies in Christ, but we're supposed to grow in Christ, our Father treats us differently. If you're a little babe in Christ, I mean, He's going to do everything for you. But as you grow, just as a natural child would grow, you're going to expect them to take on some responsibilities and be responsible for their own actions, right? And it's not that He doesn't love us, but He's going to help us to grow up. Again, my father was like that. It's interesting, and I don't think this is universal, but I find it interesting that mothers are harder on girls and fathers are harder on boys, right? This is not godly, but my brother was, he had to work on Saturday morning, and let's just say he went out on Friday night and had a little bit too much to drink. And I mean, he was hung over to the max. And he's sitting there and he said, Dad, I'm not going to work today. Dad said, get your butt up. You're going to work. Right? You're going to work. And so my brother got up and he sure enough went to work. But watch this. What was he teaching him? He was teaching him the same work ethic that he had. Your behavior will not excuse you from your responsibilities. You're still responsible to do what you're supposed to do. And God is that way with us, but it didn't mean that Dad didn't love him, but He was training him. And even as You know, like Christians, and we grow up, God expects more of us. Right? And that's a good thing. Why? Because if He can count on us with little things and we grow to bigger things, then He can give us bigger things. Right? But if He can't count on us, then He won't give us those things. But behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. I love that word bestowed, because bestowed means I didn't earn it. He just gave it. God loves you so much, but He loves you enough. And I say it this way, He loves you just the way that you are. But then He loves you enough not to leave you that way. In other words, you can come to Christ, you can come to God. I don't care if you're a sinner, a drug addict, a prostitute, you know, a thief, a liar. You can come to Him just the way that you are, and He loves you, and He'll accept you that way. And if you become born again, you're His child, but He loves you enough not to leave you that way. In other words, He'll work with you through the Word and through conviction and certain things to bring you out of that. So you might have been a thief at one time, but you're not going to be a thief if you come under the hand of God and let Him discipline you, right? He loves us that much. God loves us that much. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. Why is this so important? Because sometimes we get this, and it's gone on forever and ever and ever. Well, God loves me, so it doesn't matter what I do. Well, if you just have, you know, half a brain, you can figure out that, well, if God loves you, He's not going to be okay with you doing harmful, hurtful things. He's just not. And again, God would be like, it would be like God being the parent that says, "Oh, Johnny, it's okay. Go touch the stove. I don't care. Touch the stove." I'll tell you another story, and it's just funny to me. When I was growing up, you know, you all know Gary, and I spent a lot of time at their house, and his dad's name, Mr. Keller, but Ralph, but his older sister brought this couple over, and this couple was staying with them for a while. And this was back in, you know, the late 60s, maybe early 70s. So this was kind of a hippie couple. And for you younger people, it was a whole different mindset that started to come in. And so they had this little toddler, 2 or 3 year old, and the toddler would just do all kinds of things. And for instance, come up and just smack the mother. You know, just hit her. Hit her in the stomach. Hit her, whatever. And they go, "Oh, Johnny, you shouldn't do that." And Ralph, who again was of the Second World War generation father, that, you know, military guy that kind of, he took that for so long, and then he said, "I don't think so." Right? And so the point of what I'm trying to make is that God's not going to let us just get away with anything and say it's okay, well, they're just being themselves. He's going to get us back to the Word where it says, don't do this and don't do that, and because those things are wrong, and it's not who you are anymore. I can remember a time when my dad was very interesting in the way that he got us to change behavior. And I'm going to tell a story on my sister. She won't be listening to this, but she's told me the story several times. She said one time, Dad was asking her some questions, and she flat lied to her. And he said, "Lorraine, let me tell you, there's one thing I cannot stand in this life. It's a liar." You know, it's like right to the point. But he was teaching her about integrity. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. there were other times when I'd mess up or do something, and Dad would have the attitude, "Son, Dugans don't act that way. That's not okay. That's not okay." He was teaching me the value and the family values and the family integrity. And he taught me that at a young age, and then even through my teenage years and even into my adulthood. He was my example of that. But him being evil, if he knew how to give good gifts to me, how much more will my Heavenly Father train me in to be ethical, to be... It's very interesting. I don't know if you've read much in Proverbs. I try to read one every day. You know, I do the whole, if it's the fourth, I read the fourth proverb. If it's the 30th, I read the 30th proverb. Every day I try to do that. And the whole book of Proverbs is Solomon teaching his son what David taught him. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is, and it's like, son, if you want wisdom, do this. If you want life to go well, do this. He said, look at the ants. You know, they toil and work all. They don't have any leader, but they're busy constantly. And then he says, look at the sluggard, man. They don't even they're not even willing to raise the hand off of the plate to get to the food, and they're going to be lacking. It's full of just facts about wisdom and how to grow up and how that you should be trained and integrity. And it's just full of that. And that's how the Father is with us. Again, verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 John says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." That is such a powerful statement. It's like the world, they're not crazy about us, but they're not crazy about Him. Right? But we know this, that when we show up to heaven or He returns, we're going to be just like Him. Why? Because the love of the Father has put us into the place of adoption. Right? We've been adopted into the family. I'm a child of the Most High God. He loves me. He cares for me. And He's going to correct me. He's going to take care of me. He'll provide for me. It's kind of like when you know the love of the Father, verses like this, "And He shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus," become real to you. But if you just read that isolated verse without the rest of the verse, you don't understand that He's saying that based on the fact that you have followed after My heart and done what I've asked you to do. In this case, it was an offering that was going to be sent. And He said, because you've been such a giving people, because you've done what I've asked you to do, the result of that is that He'll meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He says to forgive and you'll be forgiven. He said to give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He would cause men to give unto your bosom, but you have an action to do, and then the reaction is based on your action. In other words, God loves us. He's brought us into the family, but He expects us to grow up and to begin to do things that we don't necessarily do. I'm going to tell on myself, and as we're winding down here, it's like, you know, when people leave the church for whatever reason, as a pastor, it's always like, what did I do wrong? You know, and oftentimes they'll say, well, pastor, it has nothing to do with you. But I don't believe that. Right? I mean, that's in part of me that doesn't believe that. But as I'm dealing with that and talking to God about that, and there's a few in particular that have left, and it's just caused pain in my heart. And even just today, I was listening to somebody else, and they were talking about, as a pastor, when somebody leaves, you just need to release them. Because they don't belong to you, they belong to God. Now, I know that, right? But that's hard sometimes to walk out. And when you see them, or you talk to them, or you see a post on Facebook, you just go, how can they be blessed when they left me? You know, that type of thinking. But God is trying to put my heart in the place where it's like, listen, they matter, obviously, but you can't hold on to them because they don't belong to you. They belong to me. And why don't you just give them to me and let me deal with them and believe that I'll bring you some others, you know, to take care of. And he has, and he does, and it's wonderful. But the more I'm convinced that God loves me, the more secure I am in his love. And things like that won't affect me as much. You know, there's verses in the Bible that just are really challenging to me. And one of them is forgive even as Christ has forgiven you. I mean, come on. But that's what it says. And so unwrapping that, the Holy Spirit, who's revealing Jesus, who came from the Father, he's unwrapping that for me, and on a constant basis, he's saying this. He's saying, if you really understand the magnitude of the forgiveness that I've given to you, how in the world could you hold anything against anybody else? It's impossible. It's impossible. What have you done bad? Well, lots of stuff, right? I've had terrible thoughts, right? I mean, even since I've been saved, sanctified, pastor, and holy, right? There are thoughts that have come to me that I'm just, you know, it's like, how did that get there? Right? How in the world did that get there? But if God can forgive me, how much more should I be able to forgive others? And how can I know that God would forgive me? Well, one of the ways is that I just believe that this Bible, and this Bible is true. But I'll tell you another way. I have a son and a daughter. There's nothing that they could do that would keep me from loving them. There's nothing. If they went to prison, I'd visit them. Right? If they rejected me totally, I'd still love them. Right? There's nothing that they can do. Now, I might not like their behavior. And we might need to be separated because of that behavior. But my motivation and my prayers for them is for always for them to make the right choices and do the right things. And if there's anything that I can do that will be beneficial for them, I'll do it. They can have my house, they can have my car, they can have anything that belongs to me belongs to them because I love them. Right? And watch this. And if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts to God, how much more will he give good gifts to me? Right? Because he loves me. So in thinking of the forgiveness and walking in the forgiveness and walking the forgiveness out, as I look down at my son or my daughter, and I there's just no way I couldn't love them. There's nothing that they could do. I've told you this before, but it just bears repeating right here. When my firstborn, my son, was put into my arms, and you know, it was one of those moments, and I know you've had these, where when you're talking about it, you're back there. Right, you can still see it. I can see the color of the walls of the room. I can remember the smock and everything that I was in. It's all right there. And I remember looking down at his little face and his arms dangling right here. And, you know, the nurse just gave him to me after he was born. And I looked down at him and I said, God, you love me this much? See, because I'd experienced love. I love my mom. I love my dad. I love my sister. I love my wife. But this was flesh of my flesh. And it was overwhelming to me. Absolutely overwhelming. And my response was, God, you love me this much? His response to me in my heart was, I love you so much more than that. Because my love is unconditional. Isn't that awesome? So tonight, when he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us. Come on. That love paid the price for our sins. That love sent Jesus to the cross. But that love also is there to help us grow up and to correct us and to motivate us and to make us better people and to be more like Him. Because when He comes back, we're going to be just like Him. Isn't that awesome? It's so good. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your love, and I feel inadequate, Lord, sometimes to put across what You put in my heart. And tonight, Lord, for all of those that are listening here in the room and those online, I just ask You to saturate them right now by Your Spirit with Your love. Those who are in self-condemnation, I ask You to love that right out of them in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, that the entrance of Your Word will bring illumination to their hearts and that, God, that they will see the value that they have to You because You sent Jesus to pay the price for them. Lord, tonight I just ask You to bless them, to be with them. If there's any hurting financially, Father, bless them because You're their provider. If there's any hurting physically, Lord, I thank You that You're their healer, that You care about them hurting and You want to fix everything that's wrong. And I thank You for reaching them right now. But if there are any that are far away from You and they have an orphan spirit like they can't even get close to You, Lord, I thank You for revealing the Father's love to them individually. And Lord, we just want to give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for everything that You've done for us. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.